This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Here we go on a Monday. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan. You just heard Taylor with the news. Taylor will be back, I'm assuming, Dave Harrigan, with overrated, underrated, properly rated 1 hour from now. But let's talk at the start. Saturday Night Live and the power of Saturday Night Live. I talked to a bunch of friends today, including my friend Molly, and everybody's still buzzing about SNL. By the way, if you're here to text, if you're here to call, it's never been funny. I'm sick of it. I'm done with you. I've lost your number. I'm not here for you. The power of SNL all weekend on display. The height of it last night with skit after skit after skit. Dave Harrigan, 0 to 10, how much did you like Saturday Night Live, Sunday primetime, celebrating the brilliance of this show's run?
Well, first of all, don't call them skits, Chad. They are sketches. They are comedy sketches. Please get your terminology correct. 1 to 10, I would have it at about an 8.8.
I'm probably an 8. I'm probably just barely below you, but I don't want to be judging on the Adam Carter card of unless it's spectacular throughout every single sketch, every single character, every single musical performance, it's not good enough. Because there was way more good than bad. In fact, if you want to chime in right now, through a phone call or a text, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. What did you love? What made you laugh? What made you cringe? What didn't you like Saturday Night Live 50 years? Okay, so I was curious how they would start the show. And then it made sense because by all accounts, Lorne Michaels and Paul Simon are very close and have been. And the early days of SNL, Simon was a fixture. So to have Simon a part of it made sense. Did you like that they paired him with a young star who 18 months ago, I don't think we knew of, but last year was about Espresso. And there's Simon and Sabrina opening up. Dave Harrigan, did it meet your level?
I really enjoyed that. In fact, of all the musical performances last night, that was, I think, clearly the top. I thought they were tremendous.
Wow, Carter now claiming he gave it an 8.2. Stop with your hate.
Higher than you.
No, he gave it now he's clarifying. An 8. Well, we know, I mean, honestly, Carter could see Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, George Carlin, and John Mulaney at their peak. You go, eh, I don't know.
Well, he wouldn't see all of them. He'd leave after about two.
He would. He would, and then he'd go home and watch Coochie Coochie Coo on Fantasy Island. I mean, Lil Wayne, really?
Yeah, I didn't get that one. I did not understand why Lil Wayne was there. But all right.
Lil Wayne, I mean, I'm amused by Lil Wayne. I know he's got hits, but it's SNL at 50. We got Lil Wayne. Okay, I thought it worked very well. And then I'm thinking, who is going to open? Now, the 40th one was dominated by Fallon and, to a less degree, Timberlake. No Timberlake at all.
No.
Yesterday. Not in the crowd. Nothing. Wasn't a part of the musical festivities on Friday. I was a bit surprised by that. Now, Fallon was a big part of the Friday Night Musical show, which, now, did you watch that?
I only caught a few clips of that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Might have even exceeded, for the expectation game, Friday Night exceeded it. There were so many stars and Will Ferrell, and how do I say her name? Anna
Gasteyer.
Anna Gasteyer, when they do kind of the folksy
yes.
Duo.
Love that bit.
And they were doing it like to hip-hop songs and love songs. I was crying, man. It was so funny. I mean, by far of the two shows, from audience reactions, and you obviously don't get it with SNL, the most the crowd just was bent over laughing. So good. So we'll get back to fraud in a second. So they had Steve Martin come out. What did you think about Martin as the lead?
I thought that was a good choice. I mean, he was obviously not on the cast, but very much a regular in the early years. And, yeah, I thought that worked out well.
I thought it did. I thought he was good. I thought kicking Martin Short out.
Yep.
I thought having Mulaney come as a part of it. I guess they decided to have, you know, kind of as the show would normally open with somebody who's hosted it. I guess I wanted Eddie. You know, I wanted somebody who you still think of with SNL, but you don't see on as much. You still see Steve Martin. But did I think Steve Martin was funny? I did.
Yeah, and the good news is you got Eddie in sketches this time, unlike 40.
Yes. Eddie, okay, well, let's get to Black Jeopardy. Because Black Jeopardy is also causing controversy.
Yes, it is.
So should we get to the controversy first and then talk about it? Hanks comes out as a MAGA voter. Some of it's funny. I thought it was dumb. I really did. I'm not going to go as crazy as some of the hardcore MAGA folks, but I thought it was dumb when Hanks was uncertain to shake hands with, who was it? Kenan, right?
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
Eh, whatever. Didn't bother me. I didn't think it was, you know, it wasn't funny, but it was okay, whatever, fine.
I didn't think it was that funny, and I just thought it gives catnip to the MAGA crowd, and it's everywhere, right? I thought it was very good. I think some other Black Jeopardies have been funnier, but, however, Eddie, just as Tracy Morgan, was hysterical.
Yes. I mean, the four cheese lasagna was, oh, I mean, that was, I was picturing Tracy himself saying, and of course, Tracy right next to him, and I love Tracy Morgan, and him doing a great Tracy Morgan was, I was bent over laughing.
I've heard Eddie as Tracy Morgan before, but just to have him do it right there was such a tremendous idea. And then Eddie came back for the final skit with Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell was breaking and screwing up lines and wearing just strange outfit, you know, and Keenan's cracking up and Sudeikis. It was good.
And that last one, I'm pretty sure Eddie dropped an MF they had to bleep out.
I think he did.
And then one of the last lines, I did not know you could say that on TV.
I didn't know either.
Woo!
That was okay. There's a lot more to get to. SNL, first of all, you have to last 50 years. But during the last 10, 20, 30 years, if you think, oh, it's no longer relevant, try again. You're allowed to think it was at its funniest during your, what, high school, college, early 20s? Get it. A lot of people still identify music and many things in their life there. But the Trump portrayals, the attempting to get Biden right, the stars who go on there, the top musical acts that go on there, how it's played in social media. There's so much out there, Dave, that the numbers are never going to be what they were. But the impact of the show is still everywhere. Is there any doubt about that?
No, it's not. And when you get a great sketch, I mean, it is everywhere for the next few days of people rewatching it on YouTube, still talking about it. It's, I mean, they still crush, I'm sure, with numbers as far as just, you know, people streaming bits that maybe they didn't watch live.
Many other items on this. A reminder, Dean Phillips is going to join us in about 20 minutes. Dean talking publicly for the first time since Tina Smith said she's not running for re-election in 2026. Is there any scenario where Dean Phillips jumps into the race, even though he had said previously, well before we knew about Tina Smith, that he wasn't going to run in 2026 for the Senate seat or the governor's race? His wording was interesting when he said, it's not my intention to run for this seat. But what else did you love or what else did you not like last night? SNL at 50. Calls and text encouraged. 651-461-9226.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Michael is back. He never died. It was all a setup. And you're breaking the news right now.
That is incorrect. Michael is, I believe, still no longer with us. I am not going conspiracy theory on Michael.
Dr. Conrad Murray is joining the show.
No, Dr. Murray.
Is he dead, too?
I think he is.
I think he might have died. Yeah. What do we got?
Well, it's a big day today, Chad. It's President's Day, of course. So we are playing a band's artists who share a surname with one of our presidents.
Okay.
Michael Jackson, Andrew Jackson. They could be brothers. We're not sure.
Yeah. Do we have a Trump musical act?
We do not have a Trump.
Come on.
We have plenty from both sides of the aisle, but I could not think of a musician, a prominent musician with the last name of Trump to honor the president.
You got that note from George Soros, Dave. He told you don't play it.
Yes, we're playing only musicians with the last name Clinton and Obama. That's it.
Let me give you an example of a text that goes absolutely nowhere and you don't need to send it. Have never watched the show, so 0 out of 10. Then I don't bleepin' care what you have to say. Okay. You want to disagree with me, Dave?
And how do you know it's a 0 out of 10 if you've never watched it? And by the way, you're probably lying because everyone's seen at least a little bit of SNL in their life.
1,000% this person has stumbled upon SNL. One clip, a soundbite, something. Let's just get to a lot of the texts. A lot of texts are going to touch on topics that I want to get to, and I want to work the folks into the show. The Lawrence Welk skit was funny, and Debbie Downer. I did not like Debbie Downer. Did you?
I did not love Debbie Downer, no. It lacked the fun of the other Debbie Downer sketches from the past, as everybody just losing their minds and, you know, Jimmy Fallon, number one, laughing their butts off during the segment. I don't know. It was fine. It was not great.
Working Farrell in as Robert Goulet into the Lawrence Welk skit was fantastic. Okay. God, my God, is he funny. Do we need Kim Kardashian in the skit?
No.
Do we really?
No, we did not.
We don't. More text. 651-461-9226. Thought the SNL show was really good. Forgot how funny Eddie Murphy is. He killed in every sketch he was in. Chad, the part I didn't like was Paul Simon and Paul McCartney. They were amazing in the day, but painful to hear them now. Okay. Both did not have great timbre in their voice last night. Is that a fair way of saying it?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know. I guess I didn't think Simon was too bad.
I thought McCartney stood out worse. I don't think he was feeling great. That would have been my guess, because you see other concerts or clips of concerts not that far away, and I thought he was better. I thought, just because of that, why not bring on some other enormous stars like Eddie Vedder's there? Bring on huge acts to join Paul McCartney with that medley.
The best, Kate McKinnon in the Close Encounter sketch with Meryl Streep and John Hamm.
Okay. Kate McKinnon and Meryl Streep, that combo, were phenomenal.
That was great. I didn't realize Meryl had never hosted.
Never?
Yeah.
Let's see more. I was pleasantly surprised by the lack of Trump impressions. They knew we didn't need him as part of the legacy. Bravo. Why am I blanking the guy who plays him? He was briefly on. He was in the Big Mulaney, where they were going over decades in New York tied to SNL. What did you think of that? I thought that was very
funny. I loved that one. That was one of the highlights for me, for sure.
I thought the writing of that
whole montage of decade after decade was just brilliant.
James Austin Johnson is who does Trump.
That's right. I think a brief James Austin Johnson as Trump wouldn't have been bad.
I think he could have had a few presidents there.
Was very surprised all the sketches were live and new material. Was expecting all classic rerun material. And Lil Wayne?
Okay.
The Tom Hanks bit was tasteless. I'm reading your text here. The Tom Hanks bit was tasteless, and they wonder why Trump won. That's not why Trump won, okay? Because there are many, many reasons why, but we've turned this whole Hollywood thing into that's why Trump won. Hollywood hasn't cared for Republicans for like 70, 80 years, correct?
For the most part, that's true.
And we've had how many Democrats as presidents? Again, I that part of it, I didn't like. I don't think it was worth it. The original Hanks Black Jeopardy was great. Google it. Yep, I have. It's very funny. Let's see more here. A lot of people loving Meryl Streep. Agreed. I just switched to NPR programming. This is the same buffoon who told us 0 out of 10. Oh, no, it's not that. Just came across a pic of your dad, Chad. Okay. I'm glad you enjoy that. There's a lot of a variety of photos of my father, including the ones when he's younger. These are the ones I like best. Will Ferrell in shorts. Laughing my you-know-what-off.
The spring uniform, as he called it.
Biggest surprise by far was what, Dave Harrigan?
Biggest surprise. That's a good question.
By far. Not even close.
I don't know. What's
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, you know what?
Jack hasn't been spotted
in
public for years. Lots of concerns about his health. To have him introduce Sandler.
Yeah.
And maybe just from the movie together, whatever they're tight. I love that.
It was great. I thought when they did the Tina and Amy taking questions from the audience, but I could have sworn I saw Jack there and I was shocked. And then, he pops up to introduce Sandler. And Sandler's song was unbelievable. That was great.
Sandler's song was as good as anything they did last night.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
Oh, I 100% agree. He knows how to touch the heartstrings, man. When he mentions Farley and Norm together and just takes a little brief pause, I was fighting back a tear.
Yep. What did you think of the Tina and Amy segment with the celebrities?
I thought that was very good. They played it off as, hey, this is just kind of an excuse to put all the celebrities on the camera, give them a little time. Well, yeah, it was. And it also worked.
Yeah. What did you think about a minor attempt to resurrect Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively?
I thought Reynolds' line was very good. Something
I thought he delivered it extraordinarily well.
What have you heard?
Have you heard anything?
Yeah.
I was a little surprised that they did it. The Domingo segment has been the most discussed segment of the season, so I'm glad they worked it in. What do you think about that?
I enjoyed Domingo. I don't think quite as much as you, but I loved it. I liked that Sabrina was part of it and was complete, as tone deaf as everybody else was during the sketch. And, adding Martin Short and Molly Shannon as the parents were great. And
yes. Oh, yeah. It was great. Friday, go back and find it from Cher, Backstreet Boys, Eddie Vedder, Jack White. Some funny skits, no Timberlake, so it's Sandberg and Lady Gaga with some of the skits, including You Know What in a Box.
The Lonely Island stuff. I saw that one.
Yeah. Really, really good. So bravo to SNL. Dean Phillips with us next. All right, let's jump in with the former 3rd District Congressman Dean Phillips, frequent guest of the show. Always adds great insight. Dean, like every guest on WCCO Radio, joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. Appreciate you coming on. What was your reaction when you initially heard that Tina Smith was not stepping down, but was not going to run for re-election? And has your instant reaction changed at all in the days since said announcement?
Well, my instant reaction, Chad, was that Representative Angie Craig should step up and run for that seat. I think she would be a great successor to Senator Smith, and I'd like to see Steve Simon run for the governorship. Those are my first thoughts. I know there's some speculation about my interests, but I've made that pretty clear that my future will not be as a senator or governor from Minnesota. But we have some, I think, strong candidates and good folks willing to step up, and I think Angie would be a great, great successor for that seat.
Okay, so this is two formal endorsements. Angie Craig for the Senate seat, Steve Simon for governor. Why those two individuals?
Well, when you use the word formal endorsements, I'm sharing with you my appreciation for both Steve Simon and Angie Craig, and I think they happen to be two of the people with whom I've worked in my faith, their principles, but most importantly, and you know, because we talk about this all the time, Chad, they're also courageous. They're willing to speak the truth, take some risk, and are not part of the political machines, if you will, that I think are causing such destruction, both on the right and left, that so many Americans are so tired of.
When you tweeted on February 13th, I wish at Senator Tina Smith well. I also believe in keeping in one's word and do not intend to run for Senate or Minnesota governor. My spidey sense went up, so did others, with the phrasing, do not intend. Is there any realistic scenario over the next 12 months where you would change your intention and you would get in either race?
You know, Chad, I my word is important. It's a rare attribute in politics, we all know. And I use intention just because there could be a circumstance, I suppose, in which Democrats somehow nominate a leftist that if I don't think that person can win, I'll probably do what I did when I knew Joe Biden was not going to win and probably couldn't serve another 4 years, which is either work hard to recruit someone who can, and if all else fails, perhaps. I think it's a really unlikely scenario, and it is neither my interest and nor my intention. And I do think, like I said, Angie Craig, who is now the ranking member of the House Agriculture Committee, and most importantly, Chad, she's got private sector experience. And if I've learned a few things in Congress, it's that we, particularly Democrats, need people serving who understand how business operates, how jobs are created, and how policy affects our economy. And I'm just afraid too many Democrats right now don't have that experience, and she's one of the rare ones that does.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the prominent names who are proud liberals, left to center, who have considered running for these seats, including, you know, Peggy Flanagan has announced she's in the race. Keith Ellison is considering it. Ilhan Omar considering it. Those are all for the Senate seats. So let's say one of those three is the candidate, and they are not moderates, not centrists. Is that the scenario where you would reach out to others, and if they did not show interest, where you would run, and would you only run as a Democrat?
Well, to answer your first question, Chad, about the three aforementioned names, you know, they're all hypothetical right now. I do believe Angie Craig is not just qualified, but would be very able. And most importantly, in Minnesota, which is still a, while we look blue to many, it's a purple state, and the winds are blowing in the right direction. I think Angie Craig is the most likely Democrat to win that race. That is, you know, that's simply how I feel. As for running as Democrats, I made it very clear I'm terribly disappointed in both parties. This is a duopoly that has a virtual monopoly on our electoral system. And if there's one attribute of the United States of America that I think should extend to politics, it's competition. And I think it's time for more. I'm spending time right now speaking with people all around the country about that shared interest. And this is Democrats and Republicans who recognize perhaps the greatest threat to our future is not a foreign threat, but a domestic one. And it's the stranglehold of two parties on our politics.
This is Dean Phillips. It's 42 past the hour, 12. Chad Hartman here with you on CCO. You've mentioned Andrew Craig. You've mentioned Steve Simon multiple times for these positions. Do you expect both of them to run for these respective positions, Andrew Craig for Senate and Steve Simon for governor?
Well, Chad, as you often get me to do, I say things that I feel that I'm not afraid. I've not spoken with either Steve Simon or Andrew Craig about the respective roles. I'm simply sharing my perspective on who I think Democrats should both nominate, support, and hopefully win. So I think that's the best way to put it.
You talked about in your previous answer something we've discussed a lot, your belief in hearing from the center, your belief in where the country really is going. When we approach the next time you have a chance to vote, when you're back in Minnesota, will you still be a registered Democrat, or by then could you be an independent?
Well, Chad, you know, one nice thing about Minnesota is we don't register. You know, we can, all of us, in fact, I would encourage everybody listening to please participate in democracy and don't just vote in the general election, but vote in the primaries. That is, to me, that's the lowest hanging fruit for Americans to actually play a significant role in reforming the status quo. You know, we are letting both parties ultimately elevate candidates who are either too far left, too far right, and the solution to that is available to us. That's voting in primaries. So when you do so, you can vote as a Democrat or Republican. Choose one ballot or the other. You know, in terms of my affiliation, you know, I'm not going to abandon the party in which I have believed that has the values and principles that I consider to be terribly important. But I think many Democrats, just like me, are recognizing a significant shift in the base of the party that is deeply troubling, that is foregoing common sense, has shunned pragmatism, and is seeing an erosion of competency. And if Democrats become a party of simply protest and opposition without solutions, it's not going to be a party at all. So I am trying my best to be thoughtful and inject some provocations into the conversation. And if that's not successful, I'm going to do what I believe is necessary to ensure that my children and yours and everybody's listening, you know, have a country that is thoughtful, that is competent, that protects its citizens, and uses common sense in its pursuit of problem solving. And right now, I think we'll all agree it is a total unmitigated mess.
Let's do this. Let's take a short pause and let's talk about that path, the role Dean wants to play, and how he sees the Democrats and whether they're going to follow that position that he wants them to see, wants them to follow more towards the middle to reflect where he stands, as opposed to dominated by many very visible, outspoken, and influential individuals who are further to the left. Dean Phillips, always making news and giving us insight and causing you to think and react. You can react at any point. 651-461-9226. Back with Dean in moments on CCO. Right back with former 3rd District Congressman Dean Phillips. 48 past the hour of 12. Okay. Here's a text, because a lot of texters ask important questions too that are relevant. And I encourage them to do that, to reach out, 651-461-9226. This could be a term limit conversation, too, because Governor Walz is about to finish his second term, not this year, but next year. He's debating both positions. For the governor's position, do you want Tim Walz to run again?
No, I think it's time for somebody new. And I think 8 years is plenty. I do believe in transitions. I believe in term limits, and it is my hope and expectation that others will step up. And Chad, I think we should start having a national conversation about attracting a new generation of potential leaders to public service. The erosion of the public sector should be a concern to everybody, those on the right and those on the left. We see too many politicians demeaning government and those who work in it. We've seen an erosion of interest in becoming firefighters and police officers, and certainly an erosion of those willing to step up and serve in government because of the attacks and of the difficult lifestyle, and even threats to one's life. And unless we start inspiring people to consider these paths and start attracting the best and brightest, rewarding them, and ensuring that those who do serve in these positions can manage, I think we're going to be in big trouble. So I believe Tim Walz to be a friend. I also believe that 8 years should suffice, and it's time for some change.
So let's talk about how younger individuals, or individuals maybe not as young as some might think, but new to politics, get in. Because you laid it out right now, seemingly the path to become an elected official, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, is to run to the extremes, to get the endorsement by moving to the left or moving to the right, and then following the marching orders of Donald Trump or following the marching orders of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Elizabeth Warren. That's not your politics. That's not the politics I'm drawn to. So how do we get individuals who are new to politics, who are more reflective of the majority of this country?
Well, so here's the good news, Chad, and I think my fellow members of Congress and those in the state legislature in Minnesota would agree. There are a number of outstanding people who participate on our campaigns and serve as interns and who deeply value public service. What I hear, though, time and time again, the refrain is, I would love to become a city council person, a state legislator, a member of Congress, a senator, except the money that has to be raised to do so is so obnoxious, and so many outstanding young people just simply don't have the access, the connections, to even consider raising the sums that are necessary, which is why I've made campaign finance reform a hallmark of my platform. So the good news is we do have a young generation, I think, that is compelled. What we don't have is a system that rewards those people, and frankly, this is where I keep making a case about the duopoly. It's the one thing I think Democrats and Republicans agree on at the national party level, mm-hmm. is to protect the duopoly. If we can break that down and there can be a compelling alternative party predicated on common sense, competency, problem solving, and ending the nonsense, and this is the most important element, Chad, a party that would have a significant financial corpus, a big endowment, if you will, that would then allow candidates to run without raising money. That's what consumes 50% of the time. It makes people trade favors for support. I think it's time for a party that raises money from like-minded Americans, that perhaps is amplified with those of extraordinary means, put into an account, and then that party supports candidates to run in races without forcing them to raise hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars. And that allows us to do our jobs rather than pander to the far right, far left, and spend all our time raising money, which is what too many are doing. I think those two things would make a big difference quickly. And then I think nationally, we just have to start elevating schools, families, faith communities, encouraging young people to consider at least some time in public service, because we can't take this for granted, Chad, and the erosion of competency is a grave concern.
This is Dean Phillips here on CCO. We got about 5 minutes left. Okay, you talk about this here eloquently. I hear you discuss it elsewhere. Should I expect at some point in the next few months more of a formal announcement, some sort of organization, some sort of structure to push this moving forward?
Chad, I wouldn't say in the next few months, but I would say that in the next few months I'm going to continue to listen and to investigate and to watch very carefully which direction our country and our two major parties take. You know, I don't see many indications of anything improving. We haven't spoken yet about what's going on in Washington and about Doja and Elon Musk and foreign affairs and some very both big opportunities and also some real disconcerting elements right now. So I'm watching.
Okay, so let's stop right there.
We all know
what is disconcerting and what is a great opportunity in the foreign affairs of the Trump administration.
Well, so let's look at what Marco Rubio, our new Secretary of State, and what Pete Hegseth, our new Secretary of Defense. If you look at their tour right now overseas, by the way, both men deeply loyal to Donald Trump because he requires it. Some of the statements that have been made in Europe and relative to Europe in the last week have compelled European nations to wonder what the heck is going on with the United States of America. And if we act in a unilateral fashion, if we impose our perspective on Europe, even if it's a solution to the Russian-Ukraine war, that does not bode well for our relations with the most important allies we have in the entire world. So I am concerned about how that's being managed. That said, I have faith that this administration will actually bring more peace to the world than we've had over the last 4 years. As it relates to the other issue, which is Doja and Elon Musk, I think every American should agree that we need to significantly reform our federal government. We need to become more efficient, more effective, ensure that managers are in place of bureaucrats to actually lead agencies. With all that said, if you don't do it in a transparent fashion, and if you don't do it in a way that is legal, how in the world can we see that as a benefit to the United States? And just as everybody listening has been disconcerted by the number of petty thieves and shoplifters that aren't even being charged with crimes, we should hold the federal government to the same standards. You know, if Elon Musk does anything that is illegal, our judicial system should hold him accountable, or the president of the United States. We cannot have a unilateral activity of someone outside of the purview of the federal government with private data of American citizens doing whatever the heck he wants. I support the notion of reforming the government. I do not support the notion of doing it in dark rooms without transparency and saying the heck with the law, because if we start there, it's a slippery slope. And that's
okay.
Where
I feel the same
sense of
Yeah, let me just jump because we've got 2 minutes left. I feel the exact same.
Okay.
In the hypothetical and the philosophical examining our government thoroughly, I'm for. But to me so far, Dean, it's shut it down, then we'll look at it. And then, as you said, there isn't transparency. Okay, it's not. And I don't see any scenario, Dean, where the transparency or a government body allowed to look at Elon Musk is going to take place.
Now, that's why I'm so, Chad, I'm incredulous, because I'm watching my Republican colleagues just give him a hall pass. And these are men and women who deeply value the rule of law, as they should. And I'm watching my Democratic colleagues, you know, do press conferences and put up their hands and object without doing anything, without proposing an alternative, without joining the effort to reform government. By so doing, by the way, Chad, if Democrats would say to Donald Trump, you know what, we agree with a lot of what you're trying to do, let's work together, but when it comes to USAID, which I believe to be the most important national defense mechanism that the United States has in its arsenal, when I think about the Department of Education, which needs to be reformed, but is integral to maintaining some degree of standards and accountability and resource allocation to our public schools, you can't just eliminate them at a wholesale level and expect our federal government to perform. But if Democrats are simply in front of microphones complaining, that is not a solution, and I'm really sick and tired of it. So I am disconcerted, and that's why I think I represent tens of millions of Americans who simply want some reason, common sense, and competency to solve problems. We haven't even talked about health care. Two-thirds of Americans who declare bankruptcy because of medical. We haven't talked about our education system, which is so behind the rest of the developed world. And if we don't address these issues as Democrats and Republicans and Americans, we're going to need to do so with a new way forward. And that's why I'm hoping that those who are like-minded share their ideas and we find a path forward. Simple as that.
I have to jump in. Great stuff as always. Enjoy your day, and you know we'll talk in the next couple weeks or so. Thank you very much for coming on.
I can't wait. All right. Talk to you soon.
Dean Phillips making news as he always does. Angie Craig, Steve Simon, and Tim Walsh, not run, and many other items. That's why we have them on a regular basis.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.